Well, good morning. We're glad to have you with us today. This is the study session for the Mesa City Council, and we'd like to wish Mayor Smith the best. He's in Washington, D.C., and we hope he has safe travels. This morning, we're going to start off first with a review of our upcoming agenda, which will be next Monday evening at that council meeting. And we'll start with items 2 through 3D. Yes, question, Councilmember Luna.
I had a question on 3C, 1321, 2118. I'm currently a member of the New Leaf Board and wanted to make sure there was no conflict of interest.
Ms. Spinner.
Vice Mayor and Councilmember Luna, you do not have a conflict under the state statute. If you're a non-salary board member of a nonprofit entity, that is considered a remote interest and you do not have a conflict.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to know. Thank you. Next items are 3E through 3J. 4A through 4C. 4D through 4F. 4G and 4H. 4I and 4J. Yes, Councilmember Richens.
A quick one on 4J. Is anybody here from housing? Anyone? Going once, going twice? Then, Mr. Brady, perhaps you could relate. This came up once before, I believe, in Vice Mayor Finter's district about the department, the kind of sideboards we put on that program in acquiring property. Was that they would get the worst of the worst, acquire homes that other people would probably not want. And there were quite a few families in my district that were actually bidding on this house when the city came in and bought it. And I have a real problem with that. I would prefer that we not do that. And if there's any way that this house could just go back on the market, I would prefer that rather than spend the money rehabbing it. I don't think we need to. I think the private sector market will be taking care of that. Again, there were several families that wanted to be in that house, and I heard from several of them. So I would be opposed to this item. I don't think we need to rehab it. We should just put it right back on the market and get back into private hands and let them do that.
Cool. I am glad he said that. I had that similar experience, exact circumstances. You know, like a dozen families ready to go that would have done a great job. And I did have a chance. It's unfair that staff isn't here right now, so we don't want to beat them up on this, but kind of looking for those most challenged of properties. You know, a theme that's come back, and I hope this doesn't upset anybody, but I think we're trying to stimulate an already overstimulated market, and I just hope we do it in the right way. So I've had some concerns, and I've shared those. But so why don't we, maybe if we could, is there any suggestion on maybe pulling this item and having some staff review and talk about it? And what do you think?
Yeah, I'll have to look at it.
Did we already
reading the background? We may have already purchased it.
Yeah, that's what.
So
I'd like to just put it back on the market.
Yeah, I think we have to work with HUD and figuring out how we, now that we've purchased with federal dollars, how we put it back on the market without doing the rehab. You have to give me some time to have to check.
Yeah,
on
let's
that.
Explore that. So
okay, we'll pull this item off the agenda though.
Yeah, and I did learn that with HUD, they give right of first refusal to cities or other organizations, so that's why we go to the front of the line, and there seems to be some long lines now.
I think it's usually the banks that give us the opportunity to bid first. That's where I think it happens if we put something out there.
HUD mandated. So.
Okay.
What do you think then?
Let's pull it off for sure. And then look into it and see what we can do.
Wonderful. 4G is off.
Vice Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering if we shouldn't have this in a study session agenda to look at our strategy on this, because if the market has returned, we might want to shift out of the single-family homes and look toward more of the fourplexes and the partnerships with our nonprofit entities who could probably easily use that money for really good causes, and I think we'd all agree.
Great suggestion.
It can go to community and cultural affairs. Possibly.
Very good. That's a great suggestion.
That was Dave's.
Yeah, so maybe we'll, Mr. Brady will kind of look at doing that and kind of reevaluating. And I know there's a strategy about what happens with the installers later, and I think they're looking at maybe how CDBG weighs in on this. I think I was it was mentioned to me. So
right. Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
It may take some conversation, too, with the Fed.
Right.
Like the mayor's office wants to make some phone calls and bring this up.
Excellent. We're glad to hear it. Okay, so 4J is off. Moving on.
Are we going to leave 4K?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the next one, 4K.
I just had one comment on that. I don't think that address is correct. I think that's North Dresden. I don't have any south addresses in my district. And when I looked it up, I could only find a North Dresden in the city that was actually in my district. So I think that's just addressed incorrectly. And it carries through all the way to the council report as well that you pull up. So we might need to re-agendize that.
Okay. So
this one I don't have much of a problem with.
Okay. So maybe check the address and leave it on the agenda for now if everybody's okay with that. Okay. Looks like 5A through 5E. 5F through 5K. 6A through 6C. 6D through 8B. 8C through 8G. I believe that's it. No questions on those? Excellent. We'll move to the next item on the agenda. We have some wonderful folks with us today that are going to give us a presentation and discuss an update on the Mesa Counseling College program. Nice to see you.
Good morning.
Yes.
Pleasure to be here today.
Yes.
Good morning. Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Amy Trethaway, and I am the director of Mesa Counseling College. And I have here with me my colleague, Dr. Naomi Story. She is from Mesa Community College. She's currently serving in a role as a consultant for Mesa Counseling College, but prior to that, she was the lead on this project for over a year. So the two of us are looking forward to presenting to you this morning and giving you an overview of Mesa Counseling College. So I'll go ahead and get started. Just to give you a little bit of background, we are a partnership between, let me fix this here. Let's see. Mesa Counseling College is a partnership between Mesa Public Schools, Mesa Community College, and the City of Mesa. And as most of you are probably aware, the partnership was born out of a grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation called Communities Learning in Partnership. And that grant was established back in 2010. So that was really the catalyst for this partnership. As we transition, yes.
Just a quick question. That was a three-year grant term?
Was, yes.
And is that, have we, has it been 3 years already?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're at the end of the grant term.
It has been 3 years, and we're at the end of the grant here at the end of December. Of this year, we'll finish that grant period, which is one of the reasons why we're here. We're here to talk a little bit about some of the things that have happened during that grant period, and then also what our plans are with Mesa Counseling College moving forward. So throughout the process of the last 3 years, we've done a great job in establishing relationships between the three institutions, being the City of Mesa, Mesa Public Schools, and Mesa Community College. We've established communication. We've established a partnership. We figured out how to work together to impact college completion in the community. So really the purpose of the grant from the beginning was to impact college completion. And as we move out of that grant funding, we will continue to focus on completion-related initiatives in the community of Mesa. We've also established a firm foundation between the three institutions so we can move forward and focus on more student-driven collaborations in the community that impact our youth that are looking to get their post-secondary education. Here are the numbers for our community. So as we move out of this grant-funded period, we'd like to continue the partnership. All three partners have decided that it's really important that we continue to focus on completion. And if you take a look here on our scorecard, you'll see that while we have a fairly high graduation rate from high school, About 66% of our students in Mesa Public Schools that graduate high school will enroll in some sort of post-secondary education opportunity after high school within 18 months of graduation, but less than half of those will complete their post-secondary experience, whether that's 2 years, 4 years, or some sort of certificate program. So our completion rate is around 29% in the community of Mesa specifically when we're looking at our residents, our students from our public schools, and those that attend Mesa Community College and other institutions. Now, if you throw in the low income factor, that number drops dramatically. Low income youth in Mesa, we have about a 7% completion rate among that population. So you could say our completion rate in this community spans from around 7% to 29.5-30%. Depending on if you're looking at the low-income population or not. So this is really the reason why we feel it's important to continue this partnership. Although we're no longer grant-funded, we have a commitment on the part of our partners to continue to address completion in the community, and this is why.
Quick question for you.
How do you define completion? Is that baccalaureate level or associate level?
It's any post-secondary experience. It could be a certificate. Let's say someone completes a certificate in cosmetology, welding, or something of that nature, or they complete a two-year degree or a four-year degree. So any and all
it's
three
all
of those.
All lumped together, and the percentage is only 7% at that point.
Yes.
Do you have it broken out from certificate to baccalaureate? What the completion rates for?
I would
assume more people would actually complete their certificates as opposed to baccalaureate.
I don't know that we have broken it out yet, but the public school, Mesa Public Schools and MCC share data, and we probably could find that information out.
Counselor. Suffice it to say that we're measuring any completion at any level post.
Right. And that's because we're trying to change the perception that college includes 2 years and certificates, not just that four-year experience. So we're really trying.
Dave will hit me again. Anything that gets them into the job market.
Right, absolutely.
All right, great.
One of our outcomes these last 3 years was to, in fact, clarify the data, because we had data all over, and now we have a common consortium and an informal data warehouse amongst the institutions.
Question.
So you're looking at associate's degree as a final outcome, if you will. Are you looking at bachelor's degrees?
We're really looking at all three.
Yeah.
A certificate that leads to an employable opportunity in the community, a two-year degree or a four-year.
And are you getting your metrics for a bachelor's degree from Arizona State University or what?
National Student Clearinghouse, Arizona State, the MCC and MPS, they all share the data.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. One other piece of information that's important for you to know is that in addition to these numbers, we have a high remediation rate in our community. So what that means is that our students are graduating high school, but they're not necessarily ready to transition into credit-bearing courses in the college, whether it's community college or Arizona State University. So about 56% of our high school graduates are moving over to their post-secondary experience, but they're having to remediate in either reading, math, or English. So they're starting off behind the eight ball. They have to catch up in order to start earning those credits. So that's another hurdle that tends to set back our youth, is that they're having to remediate at the community college or university level.
What percentage of students, I'm sorry.
No, please.
What percentage of students are going through remediation?
About 56%.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Quite a few. But that's not uncommon nationally as well.
It really isn't, no.
Really.
No.
And that's a huge national issue right now.
But along with that and these numbers, it really supports the fact that we would like to continue the partnership. Yeah. Councilmember Luna.
Yes, please.
Just to get clarification, so the remediation, does that occur at Mesa Public Schools, or remediation takes place at Mesa Community College? Or is there
The actual remediation takes place at the college level, at Mesa Community College.
Right, but what you need to know is one of our goals through Mesa Council and College was to lower the number of the remediation needs by working with Mesa Public Schools. So the linkage between the two organizations has really helped us start that dialogue, so that Mesa Public Schools has really moved towards not just high school graduation, but in fact looking at being college ready and college prepared. So Mesa Public School has really, included those goals as their strategic priorities.
Yeah, they have.
Recently.
Yeah. Okay.
Please.
So because we're transitioning out of the grant funding and we transitioned leadership from Mesa Community College to the city, we felt it was important as we move forward in our endeavors to establish a new mission. So this is our new mission statement. Basically, we consider ourselves a collaborative alliance, and we cultivate college completion and workforce readiness in the community through our partnerships. And our goal is to empower individuals and improve the quality of life in our community. Our target population continues to be the low-income Mesa resident with limited or no post-secondary credential, and that's just because that completion number among the low income is so low. We continue to focus on that. Okay. Some of the things that have happened throughout the last year or so with our partnership, some of the successes that we've had. One is our Mesa's Healthcare Learn to Earn internship, and this was a partnership between the City of Mesa and Mesa Public Schools, and we partnered with two healthcare institutions in the community, Mountain Vista Medical Center and Banner Cardin Children's Medical Center, and we had 45 Mesa High School students attend a six-week intensive internship in the hospital setting over the summer. They were selected from about 200 applicants. They were paid for the 6 weeks. They had a mentor in the institution. They had the opportunity to have exposure to the career of their choice, at least at this time in their high school experience. Most of them were seniors or juniors who were either getting ready to enter college or getting ready to choose a college. They had an idea that healthcare was the career of their choice, so we gave them the opportunity to head out into the industry and see what it's like.
Quick question for you,
yes.
Mr. Luna.
How did you identify these students?
I'm sorry?
How did you identify these students? Or did you do a survey?
We put a call out for applications to all the high schools for Mesa Public Schools through their career and technical education program. So these were students that were most likely already in the healthcare CTE at their school.
Nice.
Another program was the Mesa Urban Corps, and this was a partnership between the City of Mesa and Mesa Community College and the Southwest Conservation Corps. We pulled a crew of older youth, ages 18 to 23, who were out of the educational pipeline but interested in a conservation career. We found projects within the city limits for them to participate in. They built a disc golf course out east, and they did some xeriscaping around the city. Monday through Thursday, they did that job, and then on Friday, we sent them to Mesa Community College for a college class. And then also part of that program was to introduce them to the following semester. They were paid a stipend from AmeriCorps, and they used that to enroll in college the following semester. And that's a program that we're looking at continuing here for 2014. The GED to MCC program is a partnership between Mesa Public Schools and Mesa Community College, and that program assists students simultaneously with completing their GED while introducing them to the college experience and getting them enrolled in college. So it's more than just your GED program. It includes that post-secondary experience as well. So the idea is that not only do they get their GED, but they're introduced into college.
Nice. How many students have gone through this pathway?
We had 18 students in our first cohort in the spring, and we have 17 students this semester.
So roughly 30
What's really exciting is that out of the 18, 11 we know have enrolled this fall semester at MCC, which really is a tangible outcome of really moving from this notion of just completion of the GEDs to really completion of moving into college and completing college. So we're really excited about that.
And these students were identified through what program? Through adult ed or through CTE or through?
Through adult education.
Adult education.
At Mesa Public Schools.
Mesa Public Schools.
And also, as it, in addition to that, the next go-round for the GED program, we're looking at doing GED to the workforce. So we're looking to introduce the workforce component in there along with the GED to MCC program. So another success actually will be unveiled on Monday. Mesa Community College has been working diligently on a Pathways to Completion portal. And basically what this is it's a web-based program for students to be able to look on the internet through Mesa Community College website to see the pathway that they need to complete in order to finish their degree. So there are a number, over 100 program areas represented. Students can say, let's say they're interested in healthcare, they can look under healthcare and see all the pathways to completion for their degree at MCC and how they can transfer to the university.
What we've never had in the past, and even throughout the Maricopa Community Colleges, are actual course recommendations from the faculty or program directors so that they can really chart their pathway to completion. So actually MCC is ahead of the game with the whole Maricopa district, and we're really excited about that because we're also impacting our curriculum system within the community college district. So we've never had grade 13 and 14 enumerated before in terms of college course choices, and now we do. So.
And really this is meant for our high school counselors to use with our high school students to help them make post-secondary choices. So we have some key strategies that we'll be focusing on for the next 6 months to a year. One includes our resource development team, which is a new focus area. Basically, this group will focus on obtaining and identifying future funding and funders to continue our current programming and expand into the future. And then we have plans to continue to engage the community and ramp that up a little bit as we increase our programming. We also will continue to have a workforce development focus. We will expand our healthcare internship into the aerospace industry and then follow the HEAT initiative there with internships in education and technology as well. And then we continue to focus our efforts on engaging disconnected youth and those that have fallen out of the post-secondary pipeline.
Question.
Yes, Councilmember Luna, sorry.
What kind of activities are you doing in terms of trying to engage the disconnected youth?
Well, one of the big projects that we have on the burner right now is a college access center that we're really just in the talking stages right now of putting down in our community where those disconnected, at-risk youth reside. And that is a place where it will be a one-stop shop for those individuals to get help no matter which way they're disconnected. We'll be able to support them. What we have is a partnership with a New Leaf in Mesa Can. They have some space in their facility down on Broadway and Mesa Drive upstairs that's available. So we're looking at building out that space and making that our college access center. And this is in line with the same thing in San Antonio called Cafe College and in Phoenix called College Depot. And basically how it will work is those that are already using Mesa Can and New Leaf for their services, for example, social services, like maybe they need help with their utilities or rent. One of the missing pieces in the services that New Leaf provides is the educational support. So they'll send those customers upstairs to the College Access Center where we can get them back on their educational pathway, which will lead them to a job. The other idea is that we'll have walk-ins from the community, disconnected youth, people that are just interested in college, who can come to that center and get the support that they need in the way of workshops on financial aid, workshops on how to find or select a college, scholarships, funding, parent support. And then also we'll partner with the new colleges, and we're hoping that they will be hoteling in there to help them fill their seats as well. So we have a very collaborative approach to this proposal.
So, Vice Mayor, Council, so the board approved this concept yesterday, and the idea is this is the concept that we've developed, and we're using the concept paper then to go out and apply for grants and seek funding to support this. That's kind of part of, again, the ongoing outcome of Mesa Council and College. So, and it's very promising. but we still have work to do. I don't want to represent that it's a done deal, but it's the concepts there, working with New Leaf and others, we think it has a lot of merit, but now we'll be in the position where we can go and take that out and seek funding for a variety of community groups.
Nice.
And the long-term plan with that is that we would eventually expand and have satellite college access centers. One would be out at the new Think Spot. Maybe we're looking at perhaps the Mesa Center for Higher Education would be a good place to have a college access component. So definitely it's a nice concept.
Yeah, the idea is really, it's really site-based versus waiting for people to come to college or, you know, even
right.
if it's the downtown campus here.
Yeah.
So I explained the partnership that we have with the New Leaf and Mesa Can. In addition to that, we have reached out and partnered with the Mesa United Way. They're a thought partner on our projects. In addition, they will be serving as a fiscal agent for our funding when we do receive funding from funders and when we do receive grants. They will be the fiscal agent for that. And then we have new partners in industry, which is extremely important. We've already reached out to healthcare and aerospace, and our plan is just to continue to expand that the partnerships with those employers in our, in the community who will eventually employ the youth that we were trying to get educated. And in addition to that, we have strengthened our partnership with the Mesa Community College Downtown Outreach Center. They're a huge part of the services that we provide and will be a huge part of what we provide at the College Access Center.
Have you looked at how you're going to begin to market the center itself?
We haven't looked at it specifically. We know we will need and have a robust marketing plan, but that's not something that we've really thought out completely quite yet. We'll definitely use our community partners
right,
for that.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some good media.
Yeah. Visual. Do you know anybody that can do that?
I actually know somebody.
We actually looked that person's name yesterday. I think we did.
Yeah.
We have a conflict of interest.
Absolutely. It's a good one.
So what's next for us? We want to continue to strengthen our partnerships, specifically with the new colleges that are in town. We feel there's a fit there. They are looking for students. We are looking to educate our communities, so there's really an opportunity there to partner with our new colleges. Expanding our internship program to impact the workforce and into aerospace and other industries. And I discussed the College Access Center already in a lot of detail. And then, of course, one of our big focus areas is to raise funds for the things that we'd like to do now that the grant funding has concluded. That concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Just quick.
Yes.
I think all we mentioned about raising the funds, the good news is the three partners have, at a minimum, they're providing minimum representation. There is some representation that from each of the partners that are funding positions to keep the leadership going. So we have representatives from MCC and the city and the school district. We've committed to those resources, stand up some staff, but obviously we want to grow the programs and everything you see here. So that's the part of the funding that we'll need to continue to seek after as we go out. And the purpose for using the Mesa United Way as a funding agent, it's for some foundations and grants. It'll be easier for them to make that contribution and pass that through United Way than it would even going to the city. That sometimes is more challenging for these foundations and funds.
That's exciting information. You know, what's nice to feel is the change in culture. You know, these kind of topics in decades gone by would have never been discussed at a city level.
Right.
Always the schools and the higher education. So to be a part of it, it just feels good to know that. And when we look at bringing in industry, the workforce development, really exciting stuff. I hope people realize that out there. Yes, Mr. Lewis.
I want to thank Amy and Naomi and Kathy for the hard work they've done to put this together. There's been a lot of challenges, but your hard work is going to pay off. And thank you so much for what you've done.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Luna.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the presentation.
Thank you.
Very nice. The next item on the agenda is for our information with regard to job order contract projects. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to check? It's nice that we have this still on the agenda because we all review it, and there's actually some really positive things happening, and people don't realize we actually save a lot of taxpayer dollars by going with this new kind of a streamlined approach, so keep up the good work. Okay. Reports on meetings and conferences. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Last Friday night, Councilmember Loon and I attended a fundraiser for the Mesa Arts Center Foundation. This was sponsored by Crescent Crown. And I know Councilmember Loon and I want to thank Crescent Crown for what they have done, their ongoing efforts to support the Arts Center. It was a very successful event, great community and corporate partnership. Saturday morning, I attended the every six month breakfast meeting of the Dobson Ranch retirees. I told them I was not ready to join them yet, but complimented them on, they do so much volunteer work in Southwest Mesa. I saw so many city volunteers among the group that was there, and so that was a very rewarding time. I tried leaving three times and couldn't get away, but I made it in time for a very special event that Eagle Scout Project by Nate Richens and his crew working on painting a bridge that was in bad need of aesthetics on Broadway Road near the Tempe Canal. It was a very interesting project. I want to commend Nate and his friends and family for their persistence. It turns out the bridge was owned by the county, which created some special issues in getting permission to do it. But it's really nice to see Scouts like Nate take a leadership role like that. Thank you.
Nice. Mr. Richens.
Just pile on the praise for my son. but I did want to thank the transportation folks and their diligent efforts in helping us work through the county issues and the barricading and the paint and all of the support that was given to the Scouts so they could have a successful leadership experience. So, Lenny, thank you. And those other folks that participated. We had Councilmember Corey Woods from Tempe come out and see the progress, as well as Councilmember Kavanaugh and Mayor Smith stop by. So it was a really neat event. Had about 30 people on site at any time, kind of rotating through, and knocked it out by noon. So it was a great project. And speaking of volunteer projects, this weekend is our on Saturday. Probably you'll probably mention this in your thing, but I can't remember the term. Make a Difference Day. Gosh, I don't know. Started a new job this week. My brain is elsewhere. Anyway, Make a Difference Day this week. So lots of projects I'm hearing from different folks. Some are city coordinated, some are not. So looking forward to that event this weekend.
Great. Wonderful. Yes, Mr. Luna.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Celebrate Mesa. We had an amazing event this past Saturday over at Red Martin Soccer Field. And I want to thank Councilmember Richens and Councilmember Kavanaugh and Councilmember Glover for attending. We had so many people attend the event, and the City of Mesa did an exceptional job highlighting all the different programs that they offer our community. We had hundreds and hundreds of people attend. And I think the best part is Councilman Kavanaugh and I rode the hot air balloon. And that was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
I didn't fall out of the basket.
And you didn't fall out of the basket. So it was a great event, and I want to thank city staff for all the hard work they did to put that together. And of course, our community, they attended, and hopefully it'll be a great event next year.
Yes.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Many of us attended the GPEC, Greater Phoenix Economic Council, annual dinner celebrating much of the economic development successes that we've had in the Valley. This year, GPEC was honored two mayors for their exceptional and exemplary efforts toward economic development. Mayor Lord out of
Surprise,
thank you. I'm sure I would have messed that up. And Mayor Tib Schrainey from Chandler. Tib Schrainey was also in state legislature and led efforts for economic development for the state while he was there. A fantastic event. The food actually wasn't rubber chicken, which I'm always encouraged about, and I didn't eat my chocolate cake, which is even better, but I don't do that. So it was a very good event, and I think we're going to be looking forward to even better here next year for economic successes here in the Valley.
Excellent. Last night we had the Central Corridor Village meeting with our planning staff and others at the Johnson Elementary School on East Pueblo. Appreciate all their efforts and having a wonderful presentation ready. This is the second of six, if that's correct, and so we're looking forward to being able to get that information out to folks in the community, and we hope there'll be individuals that come and kind of understand where we're going in the future and our planning and zoning efforts. So wonderful. Any other? No. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just a quick reminder that this coming Monday, October 28th, we'll have a study session and council meeting. We've mentioned this before, but just a reminder, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Until, in order to show support, we're inviting all the employees, and I think the council's got the message to wear purple on Monday. So we'll see you, everybody in purple. And
purple shirt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Any folks that want to speak pre-scheduled?
No request, Vice Mayor.
Okay, wonderful. Entertain a motion for adjournment. We have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much.